Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Like I said, I know you're taking notes because I forgot you.
The two we had for Jane Eyre, the first was the separation. I feel I had a string somewhere under my left rib, tightly and inextricably knotted to a similar string situated. You know, that's the one where it's the connection
word.
Between the ribs.
Yeah.
And so the idea of separation and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feminist anthem.
Yeah.
I feel like the feminist anthem I love, and it would tie so well into some of the other books. It is a little on the nose. It is kind of like a speech.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you think that makes it more workshop material than standalone quote material?
Possibly. I think it depends on if we pair it with more of a feminist anthem one from Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
What I love about the first one is the invisible tie that binds, you know. I love the imagery. I love the imagery of that. I love the thought of it. I think there are ways to then, because we know the rest of the story, or in workshops we know the rest of it, we take it, you know, it stands alone really well. It would also be very effective in workshops to then go into almost like his presumption of the type of woman. You know, we talked a little bit about Rochester kind of has her on a pedestal a little bit, and she says, no, you know, and then she goes into her feminist anthem, and that's not me, and it never will be, you know. So, I mean, I think the first quote gives us the entry into, you know, in Jane Eyre, their different definitions of love and how they have to work. You know, it's not an automatic happy, wonderful romance from the get-go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the first one is a really good standalone. There's a lot of imagery. I love the second one, too. I just don't know if it maybe that would be better in workshop rather than standalone.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Let's go with the first one. I'll highlight it in purple because that's your color.
Okay. Yay! Jane Eyre passage done. Yes. Okay. So moving on. Yes. So what's up next? Was it? Did we do Little Women next? I think we did. Yeah.
Yes, we did.
That's gonna be hard for me. I think I told you, I'm fine with everything. The top three, if I remember correctly, were the longer quote. With the birds, the full quote for the bird,
yep.
The bird descriptions, mm-hmm. The very short, I'm not afraid of storms for I'm learning how to sail my ship quote, and then possibly the one about that where Louise May Alcott describes Beth's faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could get to the faith one in workshops via either of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think either of the other two are really good. I kind of lean towards the birds descriptive one because, like I said, of all the connection, the fresh refreshing our connections, our individual connections with nature seems to be happening a lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that quote will speak to people maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
No, that's my favorite, too. And also, it's just different than anything we've ever done.
And it's really
cool. Yeah, I really like that one.
It's really beautiful.
And since so many people are familiar with those four characters, I think to bring out this lesser-known quote about the birds, they'll enjoy.
And I also wanted to say that I think if people would expect a quote from Joe, maybe from Amy. But to have the quote come, the one they would definitely not expect would be Meg, because she's kind of the overlooked character in the, she's, for whatever reason, she doesn't get as much meat on the bone as the other girls do in popular culture. In the book, uh-huh. she does, but not uh-huh. in popular culture. And I think to have the quote come from Beth, the one who doesn't survive, the one whose life is seen, she lives and sees her life through this lens of impending death and illness and not impending illness and impending death and all that. I think that's a very powerful perspective that is underrepresented in mm-hmm. literature in general. And in context of, you know, the books that we've chosen, I mean, I think it goes really well with that sense of isolation. She's the only one in the book in that position, you know.
Yeah.
She, you know, and like you know, they're all going through the war, just like in Gone with the Wind, they're all going through the war and Reconstruction and everything, but the sense of isolation that Scarlett has because she sees the world differently than the other people in her social circle, especially women, and that Beth has because she's, I mean, I see this quote from Beth as being able to be related to all these characters who have this sense of isolation, which really, in a way, is one of the common themes we're dealing with, is, mm-hmm. you know, all of these characters in these quotes are enduring something that is making them, in their head, you know, isolated. But her quote takes it to the natural world. She is reaching out with her words and painting us a picture of her sisters and herself as birds, you know, and I just love that. I think that's really cool. So I'm good with that if you are.
Yep.
Yay! Yep. Little Women, passage.
Two locked in.
Yay! Next.
Okay, on to Dracula.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be harder. But like I told you, you get to pick because I will do it. I will be happy with any of them.
Okay, let's see what I highlighted.
I think we had three or four that we liked right. a lot.
We had the Welcome to My House.
Yeah, the introduction sets the stage right. for a lot of, you know, a lot of what is to come, both in, you know, academic lore of, you know, vampires in literature, TV, and film, and also sets the stage for Jonathan literally stepping into the place he's going to become isolated and a prisoner mm-hmm. of, you know, literally taking that step and everything. So there's a lot there.
Mm-hmm. The number one that I had marked down, but we had mentioned number one before, mm-hmm. was the Count.
Yeah.
Quote. I enjoyed that one a lot. It's a little bit longer, but I think it's very meaty. I like the idea that it touches on the unhealthy love there, if we're going to make love part mm-hmm. of the discussion. I mm-hmm. like the part that's part of the four. It has, like, a heaving bar of white-hot metal. That's a great phrase.
I know, yeah. It's got a lot of passion, rage. There is some sexual tension, if we want to use the word sexual, although, you know, obviously it's about blood, not sex, but, you know, it's all metaphor. If you want to say it's all metaphor or whatever, and it brings into that conversation of, you know, the victim, if you will, being male or female, doesn't matter. The perpetrator, male or female, because these are female vampires, you know, also, we didn't talk about that, but that this quote brings a lot to the table in terms of, you know, what we can discuss, let alone the freaking imagery. You know, it's all hellfire and blazing eyes and, you know, and that's just all kinds of stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, I think right now that's my favorite out of these.
Okay, would you take the quote all the way from But the Count all the way down to For There Is Work to Be Done?
Yeah.
Keeping that the fair girl with a laugh of ribald coquetry turned to answer him, you yourself never loved, you never loved. I think it's important that we leave that short paragraph in the quote.
I think we should, yeah, it, just for context.
Context, you know, because there's dialogue, we need to know, people need to know who's saying what.
Yeah.
You know, and why the count turns and says, yes, I too can love, it's because of what that vampire girl says. They're making fun of him as if he's not. Anyway, so yeah, I like
great.
That one. Okay.
Okay.
Was there any?
Oh, right.
Is that that's our choice? You like that one?
That's good if it's good with you.
If it's good with you, it's good with me. I like I said, the entire book is my favorite. So, yeah. So, is that it? Do we do them all?
Nope, we got Gone with the Wind.
So. Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm beside myself thinking we could.
Okay.
Gone with the Wind.
So.
This is going to be hard. Okay.
We had the Yams. We had. Gosh.
The Ruins of Black Oak.
Yeah, I would say my two favorite are the Ruins of Black Oaks and the Realization About Melanie. Those are my two favorites.
I agree, and I think related to our other choices, I think the Black Ruins of 12 Oaks is probably the more powerful of the two. I think we can get to the quote with Melanie. I have a feeling we're going to do... our workshops are going to be so different this year. I hadn't talked to you about this before, but I'm almost thinking that we could, it's perfectly possible that the focus of the workshops all will be on Gone with the Wind and using the other passages in relation to themes that we're finding, do you know what I mean? Like, we're going to keep coming back to Gone with the Wind because it's so controversial. There's so much that we're doing. And I think the Black Ruins of 12 Oaks quote gives us that entry into discussing the controversial. Because it is, again, it's that moment where not only does her character recognize this, but it's Margaret Mitchell's rejection of the Old South. It's her rejection of it, the author's, and I think that's so important. So I think that quote gives us a lot to work with. I love that Melanie quote, though. So I love the recognition of Melanie as a tough person. So you're going to have to pick because I don't know.
Well, let's do the 12 Oaks because I think it's more quintessential Gone with the Wind.
I also think that it does relate more to the current situation in the world. There was no going back. She was going forward. We all have to be strong enough to go forward, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is a good quote to get us, to motivate us, you know, to encourage us, I think. Because the lazy luxury of the old days was gone. Okay, that may be a reference in this book to the Old South, but in our world, again, you know, the luxury of just, I'm just going to, toilet paper's on the list, we'll get it whenever. You know, I mean, you know, the lazy luxury of the old days is a phrase that, boom, you know, it's, that's it, man. We're living that right now, right? We're meeting remotely, Sarah E., because in the lazy luxury of the old days, you could come over and we'd sit at the round table, you know? So, I mean, I think this is a really powerful, great choice. Yay!
We did it!
Done! Did it only took us, like, 17,000 hours, but we did it!
I know.
Gosh knows how many segments we'll get out of this for the podcast, because I usually try not to do segments longer than 15 to 20 minutes, but who knows?
Sure.
Who knows? This is going to be a whole new thing. But
sure.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
Thank you. I feel good. I have highlighted in purple our four selections in the document.
Okay.
So awesome.
for our viewers, let's just say what we usually do. Usually, behind the scenes, what we do next is we start putting together, we announce the quotes via our email list that you're welcome to sign up for. You can sign up via our website, CEARTS.org, and get on our mailing list. We will also post these quotes on the website. We might not do that right away because usually what we try to do is come up with some images to go with the quotes to kind of spark visuals. And so what we do now is we work on those visuals combined with the text of the passages so that people can start getting inspired. And we post those on Instagram and Facebook and social media and the website and everything and send out an email. So within the coming weeks, you'll be getting emails if you're on our list and you'll see things on our website and on Facebook and our other social media about these passages and the books that we've chosen. And we will be updating about our scheduled workshops that I should now say before were scheduled in August and I think September, or was it October? I can't remember when the second one was scheduled.
I think it was September.
I know the first one was in towards the end of August, and it was going to be at the Hamilton Southeastern Public Library, the Noblesville Library. We are not going to have it there. We're going to have some sort of online virtual version of workshops, which in a way is good because it means we might have more than two that we had scheduled. We might be able to do more. So keep your eye out for those on the website and everything. And we will just keep moving along with doing our 2020 sixth annual NICE project. I'm so excited.
Huzzah!
We have our four books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women. Oh, what a great mix. I mean, that's just awesome. We will definitely right away announce the books, and then we'll get the passages with some imagery and everything after that. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited. And thank you so much, Sarah E., for joining remotely, and for me for joining you, and you for joining me. We're remote. It's wonderful.
Yeah, thanks, Alice.
We're keeping the digital content going. So,
great.
Thank you so much for your time today, Sarah E. That was this. We've been trying to get this done since January.
No, thank you, Alice.
So we did it, you know. All right, and my next job will be editing and segmenting, so yeah. Okay.
Great, awesome.
All right.
Okay,
we'll see you next time at the round table. This has been At the Round Table with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Round Table.